Arithmetic's diagram, the six-point circle. For advanced arithmetic students, the six-point circle offers more versatility and more defensive capability than the two- or four-point versions. To begin, of course, one simply draws a circle. From there, however, the arithmetist must intuit the six bind points based on where the tips of an inscribed hexagon would touch the rim of the circle. Determining the location of these points without actually seeing the hexagon or drawing the cross lines is difficult, but is a skill which should be mastered by any arithmetic scholar. Chapter 5. The professors sat along their table according to rank, spouses at their sides. Principal York, tall, distinguished, with a drooping brown mustache, sat at the head of the table. He was a large man, wide at the shoulders, and tall enough that he seemed to tower over everyone else. The tenured lecturers came next, arithmetists and ordinary men interspersed, treated as equals when dining. Joel suspected that the equality had to do with the fact that the principal himself wasn't arithmetist. Moving along the table toward the foot, the next group of professors were what were known as regular professors, not yet tenured, but well-established and respected. There were about six of them. The arithmetists in their ranks wore blue coats. The assistant professors in green came next. Finally, there were the three tutoring professors in gray. Professor Fitch, 20 or 30 years older than the people around him, sat in the last chair at the table. Nalazar sat in red near the head of the table. Even as Joel approached, he could hear Nalazar's loud voice.
"Certainly hope it does cause some people to sit up and pay attention," Nalazar was saying. "We are warriors. It's been years since most of you held the circle in Nebraska, but I was there just a few months ago, on the battlefront itself. Too many academics forget that we are the ones who train the next generation of defenders. We can't have sloppy teaching threatening the safety of the 60 Isles."
"Surely your point is made, Nalazar," said Professor Haverstock, another of the arithmetists. "I mean, no need to unsettle things further."
Nalazar glanced at him, and in Joel's perception it looked as if the young professor was barely holding back a sneer.
"We cannot afford dead weight at Armedius. We must train fighters, not academics."
Fitch turned away, focusing on his food. He didn't seem to have eaten much. Joel stood uncertainly, trying to decide how to approach the man.
"Theory is important," Fitch said quietly.
"What was that?"
Nalazar asked, looking down the table.
"Did you say something?"
"Nalazar," Professor York said, "you are testing the limits of propriety. You have made your point with your actions. You need not make it with insults as well."
The young professor flushed, and Joel caught a flash of anger in his eyes.
"Principal," Fitch said, looking up. "It's all right. I would have him speak his mind."
"You are a better professor than he, Fitch," the principal said, causing Nalazar to turn even redder. "And a better instructor. I'm not fond of these rules and traditions you arithmetists have."
"They are ours to follow," Fitch said.
"With all due respect, principal," Nalazar cut in, "I take exception to your previous statement. Professor Fitch may be a kindly man and a fine academic, but as an instructor? When is the last time one of his students was victorious in the arithmetic melee?"
The comment hung in the air. As far as Joel knew, Fitch had never had a student win the melee.
"I teach defense, Nalazar," Fitch said. I used to. "Anyway, a good defense is vital in Nebraska, even if it hasn't always been the best way to win duels."
"You teach wasteful things," Nalazar said. "Theories to jumble their heads. Extra lines they don't need."
Fitch gripped his silverware, not in anger, Joel thought, but out of nervousness. He obviously didn't like confrontation. He wouldn't meet Nalazar's eyes as he spoke.
I taught my students to do more than just draw lines, Fitch said. I taught them to understand what they were drawing. I wanted them to be prepared for the day when they might have to fight for their lives, not just for the accolades of a meaningless competition.
Meaningless? Nalazar asked.
The melee is meaningless.
You hide behind excuses. I will teach these students to win.
Fitch said.
Bah, Nalazar said, waving his hand.
I doubt you can ever understand, old man.
How long did you serve on the front lines at Nebraska?
Only a few weeks, Fitch admitted. I spent most of my time serving on the Defensive Planning Committee in Denver City.
And, Nalazar asked, what was your focus during your university studies? Was it offensive theory? Was it perhaps advanced vigor studies? Was it even, as you claim is so important for your students, defense?
Fitch was quiet for a while.
No, he finally said. I studied the origins of arithmetic powers and their treatments in early American society.
A historian,
Nalazar said, turning to the other professors.
You had a historian teaching defensive arithmetics. And you wonder why performance evaluations for Armedius are down?
The table was silent. Even the principal stopped to consider this one. As they turned back to their food, Nalazar glanced toward Joel. Joel felt an immediate jolt of panic. He'd already provoked this man once today by entering his classroom. Would he remember? But his eyes just passed over Joel as if not even seeing him. Once in a while it was good to not be memorable.
Is that the chalkmaker's son standing over there?
Professor Haberstock asked, squinting at Joel.
Who?
Nalazar asked, glancing at Joel again.
Who?
Nalazar asked, glancing at Joel again.
You'll get used to him, Nalazar, Haberstock said. We keep having to throw the child out of our classes. He finds ways to sneak in and listen.
Well, that won't do, Nalazar said, shaking his head. It's sloppy teaching, letting non-arithmetists distract our trainees.
Well, I don't let him into my class, Nalazar, Haberstock said. Some others do.
Away with you, Nalazar said, waving at Joel. If I find you bothering us again, I shall...
Actually, Nalazar, Fitch cut in, I asked the boy to come speak with me.
Nalazar glared at Fitch, but he had little right to contradict instruction given to a student by another professor. He pointedly turned to a conversation about the current state of affairs in Nebraska, of which he was apparently an expert. Joel stepped up to Fitch.
He shouldn't speak to you like that, Professor,
Joel said quietly, hunkering down beside the professor.
Well, maybe so, but maybe he has a right. I did lose to him. It wasn't a fair battle, Joel said. You weren't ready. I was out of practice, Fitch said.
Then he sighed.
Truth is, lad, I've never been good at fighting. I can draw a perfect line of warding in front of a classroom, but put me in a duel, and I can barely get out a curve. Yes, indeed. You should have seen how I shook today during the challenge.
I did see, Joel said. I was there.
You were? Fitch said. Ah, yes. You were.
I thought your sketch of the Eastern Defense was quite masterful.
No, no, Fitch said. I chose a poor defense for a one-on-one contest. Nalazar is the better warrior. He was a hero at Nebraska. He spent years fighting the tower. Well, to be honest, I rarely did any fighting even when I was there. I tended to get too nervous. Couldn't hold my chalk straight.
Joel fell silent.
Yes, yes, indeed, Fitch said. Perhaps this is for the best. I wouldn't want to leave any students poorly trained. I could never live with myself if one of my students died because I failed to train them right. I don't rightly think I've ever considered that.
What could Joel say to that? He didn't know how to respond.
"Professor," he said instead, "I brought your books back. You walked off without them."
Fitch started.
"So, you actually did have a reason to speak with me. How amusing. I was simply trying to aggravate Nalazar. Thank you."
Fitch accepted the books, laying them on the table. Then he started to poke at his food again. Joel gathered his courage.
"Professor," he said, reaching into his pocket, "there's something else I wanted to ask you."
"Hmm? What?"
Joel pulled out the sheet and flattened it against the table. He handed it to Fitch, who regarded it with a confused expression.
"A request for summer elective?"
Joel nodded.
"I wanted to sit in on your advanced arithmetic defenses elective." "But you're not a arithmetist, son," Fitch said. "What would be the point?"
"I think it would be fun," Joel said. "I want to be a scholar. Of arithmetics, I mean."
"A lofty goal for one who cannot himself ever make a line come to life."
"There are critics of music who can't play an instrument," Joel said, "and historians don't have to be the types who make history. Why must only arithmetists study arithmetics?"
Fitch stared at the sheet for a while, then finally smiled.
"A valid argument, to an extent. Unfortunately, I no longer have a lecture for you to attend."
"Yes, but you'll still be tutoring. I could listen in on that, couldn't I?"
Fitch shook his head.
"That's not how it works, I'm afraid. Those of us at the bottom don't get to choose what or who we teach. I have to take the students the principal assigns to me, and he has already chosen. I'm sorry."
Joel looked down.
"Well, do you think maybe one of the other professors might take over your advanced defenses class?"
"Lad," Fitch said, putting a kindly hand on Joel's shoulder, "I know the life of an arithmetist seems full of excitement and danger, but even Professor Nalazar's talk of Nebraska is much more dramatic than the reality. Most arithmetic study consists of lines, angles, and numbers. The war against the tower is fought by a bunch of cold, wet men and women scribbling lines on the ground, interspersed with empty weeks sitting in the rain."
"I know," Joel said quickly. "Professor, it's the theory that excites me."
"They all say that," Fitch said.
"They? You think you are the first young man who wanted to join the arithmetic classes?"
Fitch asked with a smile.
"We get requests like this all the time."
"You do?" Joel asked, heart sinking. Fitch nodded.
"Half of them are convinced that something mysterious and exciting must be going on in those lecture halls. The other half assume that if they just study hard enough, they can become arithmetists themselves."
"There might be a way, right?" Joel asked. "I mean, dusters like you are just regular people before their inception, so other normal people can be arithmetists."
"It doesn't work that way, lad," Fitch said. "The master chooses his arithmetists carefully. Once the age of inception has passed, the choices have all been made. In the last 200 years, not one person has been chosen later than their inception ceremony."
Joel looked down.
"Don't feel so sad," Fitch said. "Thank you for bringing my books back to me. I'm sure I would have searched my entire study 3 times over for them."
Joel nodded, turning to go.
"He's wrong, by the way."
"Who?"
"Yallard, the author of that book,"
Joel said, waving toward the second of the 2 books.
"He determines that the Blad defense should be banned from official duels and tournaments, but he's short-sighted. 4 ellipsoid segments combined may not make a traditional defensive line of warding, but it's very effective. If they ban it from duels because it's too powerful, then nobody will learn it, and they won't be able to use it in a battle if they need to."
Fitch raised an eyebrow.
"So you were paying attention in my lectures?"
Joel nodded.
"Perhaps it's in the blood," Fitch said. "Your father had some interest in these things."
He hesitated, then leaned down to Joel.
"What you desire is forbidden by tradition,
But there are always those who break with tradition. Newer universities, young and eager, are beginning to teach about mathematics to anyone who cares to learn. Go to one of those when you're older. That won't make you a arithmetist, but you will be able to learn what you wish.
Joel hesitated. That actually sounded good. It was a plan, at least. Joel would never be an arithmetist. He accepted that. But to go to one of these universities...
I would love that, Joel said.
But will they let me in if I haven't studied under an arithmetic professor already?
Perhaps.
Fish tapped his knife softly against his plate, looking thoughtful.
Perhaps not. If you were to study with me...
Fitch looked toward the head of the table, toward Nalazar and the others. Then he looked down at his food.
No. No, son, I can't agree to this. Too unconventional. I have already caused enough trouble. I'm sorry, son.
It was a dismissal. Joel turned and walked away, shoving his hands in his pockets.